Now, Brother Kinsley will give us his India trip report. Brother Kinsley.
Thank you and good afternoon. We're going to apologize to start out. We're going to start out apologizing for those of you. Some of you have seen this. So we gave it in Phoenix, and yet we think it's important for us to know more about our brethren, because as we find we go from land to land, those who have had the privilege of traveling and seeing brethren in other cultures, we realize that we're just all one family in Christ Jesus. And I think it's nice for us to be able to see something about our brethren and the conditions in which they live, their challenges, their struggles, and their zeal to do the Lord's will. And that's what we're trying to do today, to sort of convey to you a better sense of your brethren in India and their faithfulness in the Lord, their love for the truth, and all they're doing in their lives to be faithful. With the Heavenly Father's strength and providential overruling, it was a great privilege for Sister Janice and I to make our third trip to India in November of this past year. You know, after September 11th, we really weren't sure whether it was the Lord's will for us to travel. But with prayer and the Heavenly Father's guidance, there didn't seem to be any roadblocks. And so we concluded it was His will, and we continued with our plans, and it was a very blessed trip for us to take part in. As you can see in the circled area, that's the area of India where the brethren are located, and it's quite a bit away from Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Kashmir. And so as a result, neither we nor the brethren have been affected to any extent by the recent troubles in the world. In Frankfurt, Germany, we met up with Brother Michael and Sister Ginger Brand, and we flew on to Chennai, our landing point in India. Chennai is right there. It used to be called Madras when the English were in charge of India. And from there, that was sort of our launching point of our journey within India. And from there, we visited 12 ecclesias. And as you go along, there were some of the brethren you'll see that went and met us almost every place that we went. They would travel on buses. They would travel on trains. They would travel all night to be with us at our next location. And our hearts were really touched by their love and their zeal in wanting to be together with us. Much of our luggage contained supplies to be taken to the brethren in India, books, those sorts of things, tracts. Michael and Ginger had a laptop computer, which the German brethren had donated to them. Now, typically, and this was a used computer, but they didn't have a need for it, and they wanted to give it to the brethren in India to use in the translation work. Now, typically, the Indian government charges huge fees for importing such kinds of gifts into the country. But just at the moment, was the customs lady was to look at Michael's form, which listed the computer, she was distracted by somebody else and just waved Michael and Ginger on through. And so there was no fee to be paid. And that was just one of the little evidences of the overruling of the Lord during our trip. As we left the Chennai airport about 1 o'clock in the morning, we recognized Brother Kumar and his wife, Sister Thelma, waiting for us amongst the crowds. And we were very happy to see them. This is Brother Kumar. He's a railroad engineer, and he's an elder in one of the ecclesias in Chennai. And he did most of the organizing of the public meetings that were going to take place that weekend, first weekend when we arrived. He's very easy to talk to. He can understand our American English, and we can understand his. So communication is not a problem. This is his wife, Sister... I'm sorry, hit the wrong button. Okay, we've got the right button now. This is Sister Thelma, his wife. She's a college professor. She teaches computers, and they have two young girls, Karen and Sharon. Now, Sister Thelma also speaks very good English, and they went with us to the hotel, making sure we got checked in okay. So by the time that happened and they got back home, it was after 2 o'clock in the morning. Next morning, Brother Kumar came and took us to the college where his wife teaches. Now, this college is a college for women. It teaches them teaching methodology, so that those who are planning to be teachers and have already got a 4-year degree then spend a year at this college to learn how to teach that to others. Sister Thelma had arranged a public meeting, and Michael was to give a talk on restitution, and he gave it here in the chapel. Michael's discourse was a wonderful witness of the hope of the kingdom. Now, we didn't have a chance to talk to the kids afterwards, but we certainly hope it was a blessing. And they did break into a spontaneous song at the end of the service, which Sister Thelma says they never do. So hopefully it was a blessing to them. Afterwards, Sister Thelma took us on a tour of the college, which was very interesting. It's a very quiet and serene place, but it doesn't have some of the technology or some of the advanced tools that you would see perhaps in an American university. At 5:30 that evening, Brother Kumar and his daughter, Sharon, came to take us to the public meeting hall. At the public meeting hall, we had a chance to meet with some of our brethren that we haven't seen for a number of years, since we've been there 2 years ago. There were brethren from Ecclesias who came to that public meeting from far and near. Brother Alex Barnabas has traveled with us before, and he had ridden on a bus for 10 hours just to be with us in Chennai. Brother Francis Paul also traveled around 10 to 12 hours on a bus from his home ecclesia in Metapolitan. For long distances to conventions, that's how the brethren generally travel, either by bus or by train. Sister Thelma had made badges for the brethren to wear. They're the little yellow thing on her lapel. They identified all of the brethren as Bible student ambassadors, so the public could come up and talk and ask any questions of the brethren if they so desired. This is Brother Prem. He's from Udi, which is also around 12 hours away. And he came to draw a large banner of Nebuchadnezzar's image for the public meeting, and you'll see that in a minute. It took him about 3 hours to draw the banner, and he is a graphic artist by profession. On the right-hand side, you will see the 10-foot picture of Nebuchadnezzar's image, which Brother Prem drew, and which was on the stage for both days of the public meeting. In the background, you see Brother Christodas, and he was singing as a part of the introduction to the first public meeting. 3,000 of these posters were advertising the public meeting were placed around the city of Chennai. And the language you see in there is Tamil. Five thousand of these handbills or tracts advertising the public meeting were also printed and distributed throughout the city. As you can see, they were English on one side and Tamil on the other side. The brethren in Chennai were very optimistic. They rented a hall for 1,000 people. Sad to say, we didn't fill the auditoriums. During the discourse, one of the children went around and handed out the little forms to the individuals in the auditorium where they could put their name, their address, and also a comment. And we got some nice comments back from some of those attending the meetings. There were 70 public who attended the first night, and the brethren there received 7 names along with several positive comments from those who attended. 2 years ago when we were in Bangalore, there were a couple of twins, Sister Martha and Sister Maria, who had come into the truth from the work of Brother Varma. This is Sister Martha. She's married Brother Aaron, who's from Chennai, and they have settled in Chennai. They actually live just a few minutes from the public meeting hall, and so they asked us to come visit their little apartment after the meeting was over. There are 5 people in the family that live in this little apartment. They were very happy. They were anxious and showed us their wedding pictures. Brother Varma had performed their wedding, and while we were there, they served us tea and cookies, and we had a prayer. The next day, the brethren, this was Sunday, had a convention at the meeting hall for the visiting Indian brethren who had attended, and then after lunch, there was a question meeting. And they asked the brethren from America, meaning Michael and myself, our opinions on the following questions, and we'll pass them on to you. The questions were, why is Abraham on plane N, the chart of the ages? How many resurrections are there? What will be the condition of those raised in the kingdom? Why is the resurrection of the ancient worthies better than the resurrection of the world? And has the rain started? The meeting was scheduled to go 30 minutes, but it went over 2 hours. That evening was the second of the public meetings. Again, there were about 60 or 70 public attended, and names were taken. Afterward, we heard that there were several groups that had come from local Pentecostal churches, and that brethren talked to them after the meeting. And we found out later in conversations with our brethren that some of those from the Pentecostal churches weren't that happy with what they heard during the public meetings. On Monday during the day, we had visitors come to our hotel room for fellowship from both Chennai and Coimbatore. While the brothers met together regarding some things concerning the harvest work, the sisters would fellowship with those who were coming in. It was a blessed, but it was a busy day. One of the big problems that Indian brethren have is they don't have all of the volumes in their native languages. They generally have the first and that's all. But now they've had the second volume translated into Tamil. Here's a picture of it. It's taken several years to translate it and then print it, but now the brethren in the Tamil part of the country have this helper, this aid. 4 p.m. that evening, Brother Selvaraj, who was an elder in another small ecclesia in the Chennai area, came to lead us to his home for the meeting. This is our second time in the Selvaraj home, and we love it here. They're a lovely family, a wonderful little class. They're rejoicing Christians, and they make you feel at home as soon as you walk in. This is Brother Chelia, and he's fairly new to the ecclesia. Now, he's corresponded a number of years with Sister Lynn Gamble of California. And he was finally put in touch by her with Brother Selvaraj this past year, and he's been coming to meeting every week ever since. And he's very thankful for what he calls the miracle of having received the truth. He was an excellent translator for our discourses that evening, and he's also helping and is going to get started working and translating some of the remaining volumes into Tamil. After the meeting, the brethren served us a lovely dinner of what they call fried bread. We call it French toast. Chicken 65, which has to do with the spices that you put on it, and fried rice. They let us come into the kitchen to watch them cook, and they also showed us then the spices that they use. Brother Selvaraj, the elder of their little ecclesia. Now, several times over the past few years, the India Committee has offered humanitarian aid to him and his ecclesia, but he's always turned it down, and he did it again this year. And we really appreciate his spirit, which really seems to be reflected in the whole ecclesia. And to the left, you see the little apartment that the ecclesia meets in, and that we met in that evening. On Tuesday, we flew to Coimbatore. Coimbatore is a much smaller city than Chennai, therefore is not quite as polluted. It would have been a 10-hour train ride for us, but we're glad we chose the one-hour flight instead. Brother David and Brother Newland were at the airport waiting for us. Newland is one of the Coimbatore young people who we watched grow spiritually during the past 5 years. He's 23 years old, and he's very active in the Lord's service. He gives discourses, he translates. He works with the youth program. In Coimbatore, we stayed at the Surya Hotel, which this is the third time we've stayed there, so we know it very well. It's a nice place to stay. It's one of our homes away from home when we go to India. The hotel is on a road called Racecourse Road, which actually goes in a circle. And it has walkways for walking and exercising. And one of the things we found is that people in India, one of their recreational pursuits is badminton. And as we walked around the world one morning, we saw about four games of badminton going on. Must be the English influence. Brother Alexander Barnabas works at a company about a third of the way around. So as we walked around the circle, he met us at front of his workplace. He took us over, introduced us to his boss. Now, since he's a good worker, as most of the brethren are, his boss is very nice to him. He lets him take off to go to conventions, to come travel with us, those sorts of things. Of course, in India, time off is unpaid. So that's one of the sacrifices the Indian brethren make to go to meetings or meet with brethren who are visiting, is they give up their salary to do that. Here's Michael talking to Alex's boss. They had some need of new office furniture in their lobby, and Michael sells office furniture, so he's trying to sell him some new office furniture. Tuesday evening, we met with the Coimbatore brethren in their hall. It was nice to be back there, and we feel very much at home there. Coimbatore is the largest ecclesia in India. It has about 130 consecrated, so it's a very large ecclesia. Sister Priya is another one of the young people we've watched grow up. She's made a consecration and plans to be immersed in the near future. The next morning, several of the young people came to visit us and to show us a young people seminar they just held the previous September. Newland and Alex went over the program with us in great detail because they had helped organize the seminar. There's about 100 young people that attended, or youths as they call them, and it was really a blessing to see their work and the results of their labors. Both the youth and the elders were very pleased with the outcome, and they just held another youth seminar a couple of weekends ago, January 12th through 14th. That afternoon, we went to Peter's house. He's another one of the young people, and we had lunch in his home. Now, he wasn't there. He was working, but Peter's mother and Newland's mother and a third sister were there busily preparing lunch for us. At India, at each home and most all the meeting halls, you check your shoes at the door. Priya Newland's sister is just really a delight to talk to. She's just graduated from college as a teacher, and she's now looking for a job. And she was trying to teach me how to make a type of Indian bread called chapati. Ginger and Janice went back to the hotel during the afternoon while we were going to have an elders meeting. However, due to rain, and we were in the part of the monsoon season, the elders meeting was postponed, and the girls ended up just going back to the hotel and sitting, and they missed out some of the fellowship that we had that afternoon. On the way back to the hotel, the girls passed a Hindu funeral procession. The body was in a cart covered with flowers, and as they passed by, they could only see a little bit of the face, maybe in the hair of the lady that had died. There was about 30 people walking behind the cart, throwing flower petals every few steps as the cart went along. As you can see, the cart was decorated with banana trees and flowers. That evening, the brethren began to arrive slowly for the evening meeting. Of course, it was raining. This is part of the building that the coimbatore ecclesia has. Brother Deva is one of the elders in the ecclesia. Our dear brother I.A. Joseph was from this ecclesia, and he passed away shortly after our last trip in 1999. And Sister Joseph, his wife, came to the meeting that evening, and when she saw Michael, she really broke down in tears. She misses her husband a lot. The young people in Coimbatore also miss him. He was just such a major part of their ecclesia. He worked with the young people extensively. He translated, and he had a continual pilgrim work for the brethren in India. His sacrifice really was consumed on the altar, and we miss him too because we knew him. He accompanied us on two of our previous trips to India, and he was just a very, very special person. Sister Esther here oversees the children's program at Coimbatore for the kids who are 14 and under. There are 30 of them in that age group right now. She's very energetic, and her love for the truth and for the children really bubbles out of her. Now, each month, the elders write a multi-page children's lesson, which goes into their monthly magazine, or their equivalent, really, of the Dawn. And she uses those lessons to teach the kids and expands upon them. Right now, the kids have finished studying the tabernacle, and they're starting on the life of Daniel. And each year at their general convention, the children are given a written test covering all the lessons in the magazine from the previous year. They're graded and given awards as to how well they do. And we hear that they generally do pretty well. But how would you like to be tested on all the lessons in a magazine for the previous year? Michael spoke that evening to the brethren in Coimbatore. His subject was the Hallel Psalms. After the meeting, it was an elders' meeting. Of course, India is a third world country, so in the middle of the meeting, the lights went out. And they had to haul the gas lantern out, and we had light by that for a while, until the lights came back on. After the elders' meeting, we went to Brother Daniel's home for dinner. Now, he's getting older, and it was nice to have some special time with him. He showed us some photo albums of many of the brethren in America who visited in the past. He had pictures there of Brother and Sister Fay, Brother Krupa, Brother and Sister Pollock, Brother Carl Hagensick, Sister Alice Snyders, and others who have taken the trip and visited the brethren in India. Brother Daniel was a railroad engineer, and when he would stop over in the city, he would use that as an opportunity to preach the gospel. For example, when he took the route from Coimbatore to Kannur, he would stay overnight in Kannur, and he would preach when he was there. At first, there were no brethren in Kannur, but years later, due to his witnessing efforts, there's a congregation of over 40. And the congregation, or the ecclesia, is still there today. The next morning, Jerome came and took the four of us to his family's home. Now, Jerome is one of the sons. He's the youngest son of Brother and Sister I.A. Joseph. And he's only one of their seven children who has actually made a consecration. We've watched him grow for the 5 years that we've known him, from a very shy teenager to a very, very lovely young brother in Christ. He's very quiet, has a very tender heart, and he's a very lovely individual. Went from the Joseph's home back to the hotel. We met up with Brother David and Newland and Alex and Stephen, and they went off to Brother Alex's home to meet his family. Now, Brother Alex came into the truth about 10 years ago. Now, he's 26 now, so that was back when he was 16. He was originally Catholic, but he's witness to the rest of his family, and as a result of that effort, his parents and his sister Gianthi have been immersed. While we were there, a neighbor came over, and she asked us questions about September 11th. We tried to witness to her, but she really wasn't that interested. We couldn't stay very long, but we had a nice lunch, and we enjoyed some fellowship and prayer together. Now, we wouldn't have to say goodbye yet, because we would see them at a convention that following Sunday. Now, Newland, Stephen, and Brother David led us by taxi to the youth seminar site. As you can see, it's a lovely place. It's about 10 miles outside of Coimbatore. It's very quiet, very peaceful, sort of out in the middle of nowhere. But it really is a lovely retreat. It's a lovely place to think on spiritual things. There's gardens scattered around the outside of the buildings. There's an amphitheater between the two halls there, which the brethren use for vesper services. There's two large halls. They use one for meeting, the other for eating, and then there's several side rooms off the main halls which are used for sleeping. Because the buildings are solid cement, including the ceiling, and because of the height of the ceiling, and you're watching Newland slide down one of the roofs of one of the main buildings, it was amazingly cool inside the building, even though it was pretty warm outside. The climate at Coimbatore is a lot like Florida. It's pretty hot, pretty humid. And Newland was showing us what the kids did in their spare time. But the kids really don't get much spare time during one of their seminars. Their meetings start at 9:30 in the morning, and they go to 11 p.m. at night. And they only have a short tea break in the morning and the afternoon, and about an hour for lunch and dinner. So they're working pretty hard. The charge for using this facility is $40 per day. They have a caterer bring in the food, which adds to that cost, but in our terms, it is a very inexpensive place to hold a youth seminar. And they've just used this same facility for the seminar they held a couple of weeks ago. And they're trying to be able to do two seminars a year, one in January and one in September. Back at our hotel, we had about 30 minutes to catch our breath before we head off to the town Erode to meet with Ecclesia there. Now, we'll tell you that our ride to Erode in a taxi was a little bit like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride in Disney. I have some video that if you ever want to see how driving in India goes, I can show it to you. But with the Lord's help, we made it there safely, even though we dodged some cars and buses and we drove through a thunderstorm. When we arrived in the town, Brother Bhaskaran, you see there, was waiting on the side of the road with his motorbike. You know, it's amazing how the brethren find us among crowds of cars and trucks and buses and people. Newland jumped out of the taxi, hopped on the back of the bike, and they led us off to Brother Balaswamy's home, which was our first stop. Brother Balaswamy has been a faithful brother for a number of years. His wife passed away about a year ago, and he's been somewhat discouraged since then. And so Michael wanted to stop to make sure that we visited with him. We had a prayer in the home with him and his family before we traveled on to the Ecclesia meeting. Ecclesia meets in a warehouse where they take yarn and they dye it so it can be woven into towels. Since both of those attending this ecclesia are newly interested, Michael gave a short testimony about how he came into the truth, and we spoke about the kingdom. After the meeting, they served us a meal. We had some discussions about some questions that they had, and then we finally said our goodbyes and started for the two-hour trip back to our hotel in Coimbatore. Fortunately, our driver had calmed down a little bit since our afternoon trip. The ride back home was much calmer, and we're thankful to the Lord for that blessing. The next morning, we were up and heading off to Kannur, which is up in the hills or the mountains that you see in front of you. It's a beautiful day. We had a nice driver. He drove very carefully, and we're very thankful for that. He didn't speak English, as most of our taxi drivers doesn't, but we got along fine. We arrived at the Taj Garden about 12:30 in the afternoon, met my brother Prem, he lives nearby, and two newly interested brethren were there to greet us. One of the newly interested brethren had discovered a new way to witness. Brother Prem suggested we should eat before going to Udi, and here we are having lunch. But it made it late getting to the ecclesia. We arrived in Udi about 2:30. This was our first time, and this is their new prayer hall. Brother Prem used to meet with another ecclesia down in Wellington, but he lives in Udi, and when there was some new interest formed, they organized this ecclesia, and they began to have meetings there. So this is new ecclesia. This didn't exist when we visited India 2 years ago. Brother Prem was so happy to see us. His face was just beaming. It was a great joy to see him and his wife, Sister Flora, and their two girls, Rachel and Ruth. There was about 20 that was gathered really in this small room, and this was on a Friday afternoon. So brethren who came to this had to give up their work. Brother Prem wanted us to come to our home after the meeting and show the work that his wife, Sister Flora, was doing on the computer, translating tracts and booklets into Tamil. But we couldn't go because we had to go on to the next meeting at Kannur to be held that evening. Kannur Ecclesia is also like being home. They have regular volume studies there, and Brother Abraham translates the volumes into Tamil as they study. He does it on the fly. And we have had some wonderful fellowship and discussions with Brother Abraham and Brother Jairaj, who are the elders there. And they're very dedicated to building up their little flock of brethren. Taking pictures, Michael tried to get the children to smile at the camera. Because they wouldn't smile, he began making faces at them. Children thought it was great fun, and they started making faces back, and things went downhill after that. The prayer hall is actually built on the top of the home of Brother and Sister Sagar. Brother Sagar's parents used to cook for some English people, so every time we would visit there, we would get a really good home-cooked American meal. Well, the parents weren't there this time, but Brother Sager's wife has learned, and so she gave us a really great meal of chicken and mashed potatoes and carrots and string beans, and there wasn't a speck of mashed potatoes left when we were all done. We really appreciate that labor of love. Saturday morning, we were to go to Wellington, but at breakfast, Michael wasn't feeling well, so he and Ginger went off to the hospital to have his blood pressure checked. And then they came back and they stayed back at the hotel and he rested. And Janice and I went to the meeting at the third ecclesia in that area, which was Wellington. Brother Kumar is the youngest son of Brother and Sister George. And we've always appreciated visiting with this ecclesia as well. They do a lot of singing in this ecclesia. In our two previous visits, they've actually composed and sung songs for our visit. Benjamin, Samuel, and Kumar had ridden an all-night bus, because they don't live in Wellington anymore. They live in Bangalore. And they take an all-night bus to come down to be with us that day. And they were a little late because the bus had broken down. It had broken a fan belt. And it was several hours before they got it running again. Brother Benjamin spent several weeks in Milwaukee a couple of years ago. He works for GE. And he's another one of the young people we've seen who's grown much spiritually in the last 5 years. To get to the Wellington Meeting Hall, you've got to cross a railroad track and climb up a path up a hill. As we passed the building on the left, we heard loud singing and chanting in Tamil. The brethren told us this was a Pentecostal meeting where they do healing and speaking in tongues. That's the building. The brethren are right there, and the Pentecostal group is right there. After the meeting, we came back to see how Michael and Ginger were doing, and we decided that we would change our itinerary and actually go down to Metapolium that evening and stay there. And so while they made arrangements to move, Janice and I went on to Brother and Sister George's house, where they had lunch waiting. Brother George's oldest son, Joshua, has been working in Saudi Arabia for about a year or so. The family has a business that sort of supplies the tea plantations, and because that's a depressed area, Joshua has had to take a job in Saudi Arabia supporting the family. And you can see his only daughter there, and he hasn't seen her except by pictures over the internet. So he left before she was born, and he won't see her until April. After lunch, the Georges all came down to the hotel to see Michael and Ginger off. We fellowshiped for a while until it was time to go back down the mountain. And again, it was very difficult to say goodbye. When we got to the hotel in Metapolium, we found that we had made reservations in the same hotel where the convention was going to take place the next day. That was another one of the overrulings of the Lord that was a great blessing to us during this trip. Later that night, Brother Kumar called and asked us if we wanted to go to immersion service at 6:30 the next morning at the river. There were three that were going to be immersed, a brother and two sisters, and we said that we would love to go. And this is the path down to the river. This is Sister Cassino on the left. She's one of the sisters who was immersed. Back at the hotel, the young adults were preparing the meeting hall. Eventually, the room was packed to overflowing. There were about 150 brethren there. Brother Prem from Udi came down and gave the welcome address, presented us with flower garlands. Brother Michael spoke on Israel, and then Brother Kairupa gave a summary in Tamil. Then we had another discourse on the conclusion of the matter. Brother Kairupa gave another summary, and then they had their first break. So the brethren met there for 2.5 hours before they were allowed to get up. After tea, they introduced the three brethren who had been immersed. Then Brother Daniel, shown here, gave a talk on the parable of the sheep and the goats. Then, without a break, Brother Mary Das from Mysore gave a discourse on the flying roll. Jayanthi was sitting next to Sister Janice, and she was kind enough to write her notes in English so that Janice could understand the discourses. But Michael and I were left to translate Tamil on our own. Fortunately enough, some of the citations were in English, so we could kind of follow along a little bit. Then at 2:30, it was time for the lunch break. After lunch, we left the convention and started for the two-hour trip back to Coimbatore, where we would catch an all-night train to our next stop, which is Mangalore. We started to say goodbye to the young people, and they said, "No, we'll see you again. We'll see you at the train station." Train station, we were met by a number of the young people, plus Brother Ebby and Brother David. It was a real blessing for us for several ways. First of all, we weren't sure which train we were supposed to get on, and then the train was late, so we had some time for extra fellowship. So they helped us with our luggage. They got us to the right platform. They got us on the right train. They got us in the right car. They got us in the right set of seats. And they got off and on the train three times just to make sure everything was set and they could say goodbye. And actually, they didn't get off the train until it actually started to roll out of the station. Junior Michael had the upper berths. Janice and I had the lower berths. It was really kind of a nice ride. We'd never been to Mangalore before. Even Michael, who'd been there seven times, had never been to Mangalore or met the brethren. So here, young brother Christopher was our contact. And he and Sister Esther and Brother Prithish came to our hotel Monday evening to meet with us and go over the next day's schedule. They had an all-day convention planned for the next day. Brother Alexander has been an elder here for many years. About 6 months ago, he had a stroke, and so while his mind is good, he can't talk very well. And so Brother Christopher has taken over as being elder to the ecclesia. There were about 40 brethren who gathered here in the two rooms of this small house. Brother Christopher translated for both of the discourses, and then there was a tea break between them and a lunch break afterwards. Bindu, shown on the right, a young lady, is actually a Hindu, and she's come in the truth from that faith. And Prithish told us a story that because she had become a Bible student, no Hindu would marry her. So he's volunteered to marry her, and they plan to get married in a couple of years. Notice the message in the sand from the young people. After lunch, there was a question meeting with Brother Christopher translating. The questions were, according to Brother Russell, Christ has taken over the earth since 1874. Does this mean we're in the millennium? The time of trouble commenced in 1914. Is the sealing process of Revelation still going on? Please explain Revelation 12, verses 1 to 6. How do the American brethren feel about the events of September the 11th? Do we agree that U.S. must turn against Israel eventually? After the question meeting, Sister Reshmi gave thanks to all the brethren for the day of spiritual blessings that we had enjoyed. Wednesday morning, Preetish and Christopher came to see us off and spend the last few minutes of fellowship. We were very thankful we had the opportunity to go to Mangalore and meet the brethren there. It was a great blessing and encouragement to us. Now, we had made plans about how we were going to get from Mangalore to Bangalore, which was the last stop on our trip. But since Wednesday was Ginger's birthday, Michael gave her a birthday present. Instead of a six-hour taxi ride, he gave her a plane flight to Bangalore instead. And the rest of us tagged along. In Bangalore, we had the privilege, Sister Janice and I, to stay with Brother and Sister Prasad and their son Samuel. Samuel graciously gave up his room for us. After a while, Brother Varma brought Michael and Ginger by, and we had dinner, and then there was a meeting to follow at the Prasad home. At the ecclesia where the Prasads attend, they have a study every Wednesday night in their home. Currently, they're studying the book Our Most Holy Faith, but tonight they wanted the American Brethren to give discourses. So this was the first ecclesia in our entire trip where we did not need to be translated. Brother Jayappa on the left was an Indian pilgrim brethren for many years, and he traveled by bicycle around South India preaching the gospel. Many of the brethren that we've met there in India can trace their receiving the truth to his witnessing. When I went there the first time, he told me, he says, "Brother," he says, "you come back and spend 4 weeks here, and we get on my bike, and I take you out, and we witness to the gospel." I was working there. I couldn't take him up on that offer. Now he's in his 80s. He's feeble. He's getting feeble physically, but he still rejoices in the truth. And his daughter sitting next to him, she's just made a consecration. After the meeting, there were tea and cookies and fellowship. And by the way, in India, you drink a lot of tea. On Thursday, we had all-day meetings at the ecclesia where Brother Varma meets. His family owned this three-story building, and he has inherited that, and he's converted the top floor, the third floor, into a very nice meeting hall. Notice the sign. It says, "Your search for truth ends here." There were about 100 brethren that attended the convention there. They had a Bethel service, and then Brother Michael spoke. After Michael's discourse, there was a break for tea, and this was on the roof. After the two discourses that morning, there was an immersion service on the roof in a small pool that they built especially for that. And these are the three brethren who were to be immersed. After immersion service, it was time for lunch, and that also took place on the roof. Brother Williams is one of the young elders in this ecclesia. He's a very quiet, humble brother in his 30s. His wife is Catholic, and he has a small daughter. He's been having kidney problems for several years, and now he's on dialysis every other day. He's scheduled to have a kidney transplant, but obstacles have arisen, and it hasn't happened yet. He's scheduled to have the transplant in February 2002, but he's leaving it all in the Lord's hands. We asked if there was anything we could do for him. He just said, no, just pray that he would be faithful. For lunch, they had a testimony meeting. Many of the brethren who'd recently come into the truth through Brother Varma's activities testified their experiences, and then Ginger and Janice were asked to testify. After the testimony meeting, the congregation said, Blessed be the tie that binds, as a farewell hymn to us. It was much appreciated, and we had to say goodbye because we were going off to another home and another meeting. Since we were there 2 years ago, Brother and Sister Suresh have added a prayer hall on top of their home. It's a very lovely place, and there were about 30 or so brethren gathered there that evening. They asked us to give testimonies that evening, which we did. After the meeting, Suresh served us a lovely dinner. Both of their children are in college, and they recently made consecrations. And we're just sorry we didn't have more time to spend with this family because they've been such a blessing to us. Next morning, Brother Crescino came by. He's a young brother, and he's written some books, and we had some conversations with him. The person to his left is Raju, a young man who's come into the truth as a result of his witnessing activities. Basically, Raju is a cable guy. And he came to Brother Crescino's house to fix his cable one day. And Brother Crescino witnessed to him, and now he's coming to meetings. And he's found an innovative way to witness to the truth as well. Brother Partha came to our home the next day for lunch and fellowship. Brother Morales' wife is a Hindu. We appreciate the opportunity to meet her and the kindness and hospitality they extended to us. Brother Morales and Brother Partha's sister and brother were also there, and the whole family really is in the truth. It was now time to gather our belongings, head toward the airport, begin the long journey home. And as we waited outside the airport, more and more brethren began arriving to see us off. There were about 20 brethren who came to see us off, and our hearts were overflowing for their love and their wishes and their hugs. We received abundant blessings from this trip. We hope that we were a blessing to them. And we pray that these experiences have all brought glory and honor to our Heavenly Father and been pleasing to Him. Now, one of the things we've discovered in our travel is that no matter where we find God's children on this earth, they're all the same. Their outward appearance, they may look different. Our speech may make us sound different. Our cultures may make us act different at different times. But God looks at the heart, and from that standpoint, we've all been called to the same hope, and our hearts were striving to all be faithful. Faithful children of our Heavenly Father. May we each strive to see that as we see around us and our brethren at home and we see our brethren across the world, may we all look at them as the Heavenly Father looks at them in the beauty of their hearts and their desire to serve Him. And may the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you very much, Brother Kinsley. Mm-hmm.